I heard the wind of heaven in my ear. The Lord said, "That's." Can you turn the lights on, Pastor David? Because I'll look really weird online. Not that I care, but we don't want people to think our church is weird. So I heard the wind of heaven in my ear. And the Lord said, "There's a fresh wind blowing across this land." And you say, well, that's not really anything new. But as I was meditating and asking the Lord, because literally, honestly, this song has been on such repeat in my head, it's like it won't turn off. It just won't even turn off. It's just constant and constant and constant and constant. I'm like, okay, Lord, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. I see it. So I was asking the Lord, what is for tonight? And I want you to know something. Wind represents the Spirit. And if you study it out, in the Hebrew and the Greek, wind is actually spirit, breath, or wind. Whew, if that didn't get you excited, man, I'm telling you what, I'm excited. If I'm going to get through this message, I'm telling you. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are excited about a fresh wind blowing through? Come on. Then I started asking the Lord, well, what does it mean fresh? Because nothing of the Lord is stagnant. Right. Nothing of the Lord is stagnant. It says, in the latter days, I will pour out on all flesh. That's the wind of heaven. So what does it mean, a fresh wind? You know what it means? There's a hunger pouring across this world. And it is pooling, because I'm not saying just land. Because you know what people think of when they say land? And I don't care. I'm going to be in and out of the camera, and I don't care. But you know what it means? They think just the USA. But I got news for you. Revival is happening in Africa. They're sending African preachers are coming to America to be missionaries. It cracks me up, man. But see, that tells me that God's not done with America either. Well, I'm not going to go into a whole prophetic message tonight about the end times. If you want that, there's a bunch of good teachers out there that know a lot more than me, and you can listen to it. But I don't care what happens to America in the end times, because I'm telling you, before Jesus comes again, there will be another great awakening. And that's what that fresh wind of heaven is coming for. But the Lord said there's some warnings that come. Because see, the enemy always has a counterfeit. So when there is a move of God, you better believe the enemy is going to ramp up to try to take it out, because he's a loser and he's trying everything, scrambling to the end. We know the end, but there's some snares you can get hung up in. And as I read scripture, it's like every day he's illuminating something to me. In the end times, be careful of this. He gives us warnings because he's a good, good father. He even says, don't be deceived about things. Pastor talked about that last week. But in John 3:8, and I don't want you to just believe me about what the wind. It says the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The wind is the Spirit. The Spirit will blow where it's going to blow. And I'm telling you, when I heard it in my ear, and I thought, wow, this is what it was like on Pentecost. One of my most favorite scriptures is about they were all in one accord. It's like I desire that so much. I wish I could have been there. How awesome. But when I heard the wind of heaven in my ear, boy, I heard what they must have heard, because it sounded like a mighty rushing wind. I thought my house was going to be taken away. When I was on the floor, I was like, whoa. You might not see the wind and where it comes from, but you see the effects of it. A gust of wind comes, the leaves blow off the trees, whatever your car blows on the road. You have the effects. You will see the effects of the fresh wind of heaven being poured out. And you're seeing it right now. Caleb shared this morning about soul winning. I shared 2 weeks ago about going into the paint store, sharing with the woman. Every person the Lord is sending to us, they're hungry and they're ready to receive. Pastor, every single week. That's the fresh wind of heaven. People are, they're excited. They want something. And you've got it. Amen? You can see the effects of the wind. And when the wind of heaven blows through, you better darn sight know that things are going to change. Yeah. You think America is lost? You think America is just all in the pits? When the wind of heaven comes and we see revival and hearts are changed, boy, you're going to see something different. And you're going to see people rise up as they take their rightful place in the kingdom of God. In Acts 2:2, and we all know this scripture, but I still want to go there because I think it's important when the Lord is talking about a fresh wind from heaven. See what he did. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just so you know, the same God that did this is still here today. Amen. So you're sitting in a meeting and divided tongues come over. Yeah, guess what? It's already happened. Nowhere in the Bible does it say what's happened before can't happen now. That's how you know the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is for now. People are still being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And a fresh wind of heaven, I'm expecting to not just see mass salvations. I'm expecting to see people filled with the Holy Ghost as soon as he shows up. Amen? Because it happened in Pentecost. Hallelujah. So it can happen again. Then I got reading into Ezekiel. And I'm still talking about the wind of heaven. But remember, it can mean breath, spirit, or wind. And you go to Ezekiel, and I know this has a lot to do with the end times in Ezekiel, but I want you to see something because the Lord was showing me in Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. I'm telling you, when the wind of heaven comes, things that you thought were dead are coming back to life. Hallelujah. People that have been dead are coming back to life. The people that aren't born again, they're going to come alive. The people that have turned away from God, boy, they're going to turn in a snap. Things that, dreams that were dead on the inside of you and you think, I don't know how this is going to happen. That fresh wind of heaven is going to revive you. It's going to revive that dream. It's going to revive you to run. And that army is rising up. 10 years, 15 years ago, when we were teaching Sunday school at Faith Alive, the Lord kept saying to me, there's an army here rising up. That's a generation that is Mason's generation is coming up. There's an army rising up. Mm-hmm. But God, when he breathes on it, when the wind of heaven comes, things that you thought were dead, I'm going to tell you. There we go. There's came. I'm going to tell you something. The people that you thought are never coming to the Lord, you wait when this fresh wind of heaven, and the fresh wind of heaven is here. It's here right now. You see the people that are going to come quickly to the Lord. You're going to see mass salvations. You're going to see things happen as God breathes on them. The breath of God brings the dead back to life. Hallelujah. Man, that gets me excited. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a song, Breath of God, Breathe on Me. And when you think about it, when God breathed into Adam, he came to alive. The Spirit, he came alive. You can't get enough of the Spirit. You keep being filled, the Bible says. There's a fresh wind of heaven. Can you hear it? Can you hear it in the land? Can you hear it coming right now? It's here. And you want to take a part of that. But the Lord was telling me, but there's things that we need to be careful of. Have you ever heard someone say, don't quench the Spirit? Well, I was very aware that there's ways to not partake in the wind of heaven. And that's what we need to be careful of, because I'm going to be part of it. Pastor Tim talked about a few Sundays ago, I think, about the river, and it can offend people. Well, it's the same with the wind of heaven, because it's the Spirit. And you start seeing these mass salvations. You see the guy that's done you so wrong, did your family so wrong, and he gets radically saved. It'll offend people. Well, why? They can't do that. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, look what just happened. Amen? You're going to see people that just come to the Lord, they get revelation just like that, and they're running. And that's going to offend people. It's going to offend the religious people, but it might offend you if you're not careful. Come on now. You can be all spiritual. But sometimes you see things, and you're like, why did they get that, and I didn't? Because the fresh wind of heaven is going to come, and it's going to set people ablaze like you've never seen before. So you have to be careful of offense. And if you see other people being offended, not your problem. Don't partake in that. Don't partake in that. In Jude 1, are you all awake? Amen. Am I talking too fast? I get excited. I'm very excited. And I don't know that I always convey it the best way, but I'm excited because I feel it on the inside of me. Does anybody else feel it? They feel revival in the land. You feel it swelling, but you've been discouraged because you haven't seen it yet, right? Don't be discouraged because the Lord is not a liar. I think you shared that scripture this morning. I shared it Friday night. The Lord is not a liar. If the Lord has spoken to you, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Do you have things to do? Yes. And Caleb actually talked about that this morning too, that for the promises, there's conditions. You have to do something. You have a part. In Jude 1, 16. There are grumblers. Anybody in here ever met a grumbler? Is anybody in here a grumbler? No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. Complainers. Anybody in here a complainer? Don't answer that either. Walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, and I forgot to put this scripture in there, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It's important that you not be the grumbler, the complainer, walking to your own lust, because you'll miss out on the fresh wind of God. You'll miss out on that fresh wind because you're caught in your sensual part. But that's not who you are. That's not who you are. And there will be mockers in the last day. I've been saying it. The Lord's been showing me that you're going to see a separation of the people that are on fire for the Lord and people that, I don't know if I really want that. Don't be that person that doesn't really want it. Be ready to just go after it and go with the wind of heaven. Amen? In 1 Thessalonians 5, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 6. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you. It's talking about the coming of the Lord as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be watchful and be sober. It's not time to lay down and rest. It's time to be watchful. Everything that I read about in these end times is to be watchful. So if you're really being watchful right now, you already know the wind of heaven is here, a fresh wind of heaven, a fresh move of God is here. What does it look like? It's going to look different than the other things. Anytime you see a move of God, things are shifting, but it's the same God. It's the same Spirit. The message doesn't change. Do you understand? But asking the Lord, I don't know about you, but some people that I'm witnessing to now, it's like a little different than it used to be. It's a different method. The Lord keeps telling me I have to go out. I need to go out. I need to go out and go in the marketplace, right? It's not about just always coming to church. It's about going out, which the Lord has always said. But maybe the Lord is going to show you new ways to meet people. I have no idea because there's a fresh wind here. And in 1 Peter 4, 7, let's go there. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Again, it says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. But this is the part I want you to see, because this is the part that I've noticed in the body of Christ. Because it's talking about at the end times. It says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Mm-hmm. For one another. That's the body. But I see people that are like, well, I need to do this, and I need to do that. And they're getting irritated with each other. But this is your brother and sister in the Lord. And just so you know, the fresh wind coming, and the enemy wants to stir up strife. Because why would the Lord tell us in the end to have fervent love for one another if he didn't know that there was going to be a temptation or trickery of the enemy to not have fervent love for one another? See, we don't talk about these things. We don't want to talk about this because, yes, this fresh wind of heaven is here. Praise God, we're going to see revival. Yeah, but what about what you have to do? And you have to be aware. So lately, it's like when thoughts start coming to me, I go, is that the Lord? Does he speak about someone like that? No, he doesn't. So when you find yourself wanting to grumble and complain with your brother or sister, you should say, I'm not entering into that. Because the Bible says that you're to have fervent, and I didn't look fervent up in the Greek, I'm so sorry. I should have. Fervent love for, but fervent is powerful. I know it is. Fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Whew. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each has a gift, has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're supposed to be ministering to one another. So why are people separating? Oh, I don't have time to talk. I can't do that. But this says in the end times, we should be ministering to one another. It's not about you just getting it on your own. God created a family for a reason. Amen? Amen. But everybody can just do it on their own. But that's actually contrary to what God is telling you to do. Should you have personal time with the Lord? Yes, you should. But it says, as each one has a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do you want to be a good steward of what God has given you to minister to one another? Not thinking you know better than someone else. Ministering means coming alongside of and helping. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. That's a whole other subject. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory and the dominion belong, the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 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 You're like, what does this have to do with the fresh wind of heaven? I don't know about you, but I want a pure heart. And the Lord is telling us things for the end times to be aware of. There's going to be divisions. Check. Okay, I'm going to be aware of that. I'm not taking part of that. I'm to have fervent love. So when I want to grumble and complain about my brother or sister, I'm going to stop. This is what I've started doing when I want to grumble and complain about my brother and sister. You know what? I'm going to pray for them. Because that's what the Lord would tell me to do. I don't remember ever reading in the Bible where Jesus grumbled and complained about anybody. Right? Do you? No. We don't talk about this enough. Everybody's like, well, you don't really understand. I talked to Jesus about it. I don't know, because he said don't grumble and complain. Do you know the word grumbling actually means having a, that when I read this, I was like, ooh. Complaining actually means a secret displeasure not openly avowed. So maybe you don't complain out loud, but maybe in your mind, you're like, that person really irks me. But you don't say it out loud. Oh, you all got smiles on your face, because I know we all been there. When I read that, I'm not going to lie, I had some serious conviction when I read that. Because I was like, oh, golly day. But I'm nice to them. Yeah, but if you secretly in your heart have displeasure that you don't even, come on. You'll have to chew on that one, I understand. And if there's always a counterfeit. In Ephesians 4:14, it talks about not being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That means empty teaching. So there is another wind, but it's not of God. Do we understand? Because God does not change. So when you hear like, well, this is what this means, or healing's not for today, or God gives us sickness, I have a new revelation. No thanks. That's an empty teaching. But you can be tossed to and fro with that by what you listen to. But when you get with the wind of heaven, you'll be like, that is a bunch of baloney. Right? But it says you have to be mature enough. If we're so caught up in ourselves, if we're so caught up, we miss the work, because it's time to run with the wind of heaven. And that's what the Lord was illuminating to me. I don't know how many of you run, but even if you just walk and you're outside on a windy day, walking against the wind is really no fun. I don't know about you, but when I go out of my lane, if I'm going walking, I'm like, do I want the hard now? Or what do I want to do? And I usually walk into the wind first, so when I come back, when I'm tired, the wind is behind me, pushing me along. But here's the great thing with the wind of heaven. When you run with the wind of heaven, he's always carrying you when you're in his flow. Just like the river that Pastor Tim talked about, the wind of heaven, the fire of God. Come on. You can be in the flow with him. Another warning of counterfeit, and I've heard a lot of you say it, and if you've said it to me and you're in this room, I'm not preaching at you. I've said it myself. I might have missed it. And this is what the Lord illuminated to me. The Lord does not condemn. He doesn't condemn. He only corrects. And in Proverbs 3:12, it says this. See, the counterfeit is to tell you, I missed it because I'm not seeing it. Maybe you did miss it. I have no idea. But let me tell you, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. If you feel condemnation that you missed it, that's not God speaking that to you. If the Lord tells you you missed it, great, you repent and you get back on board. But it's not, if you're feeling condemnation, that's not God, because it says he who he loves, he corrects. He will correct you if you're missing it. If you've done what the Lord has spoken to you to do, then you need to keep running. Don't stop, don't sit down, I can't see it, whatever. If you've delayed in something, then repent and keep moving on. Because that's not God that's going to condemn you, because that'll get you hung up and stick you right there. So Lord, if I've missed it, I thank you that you show me. And if you've humbled yourself and already asked the Lord that and he hasn't spoken it to you, then you didn't miss it. You need to just keep moving forward. You got to keep going. Amen? Because he loves you and he will correct you. Check your heart. So instead of looking at what's not happening, you just need to keep moving forward and be obedient. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. So be obedient. He told you to quit your job and you quit your job. Keep going. He told you to homeschool your kids and it doesn't seem like it's working and you think you've messed them all up. Keep going. I'm telling you. There were days where I thought, what in the world have I done? They're thriving people now. So praise God. I didn't do anything. I just listened. That's the whole thing. It's not about what you see. And there's days where it's going to be hard. There's a lot of days where it's going to be hard and you're not sure what you're doing. But if you got a word from the Lord, see, that's the whole thing. When you get a word from the Lord, you'll keep moving because you heard it for yourself. When somebody else gives you a word and you move on that, but it wasn't the word the Lord gave you, you will miss it 100% because you're going to be thinking about that person, but you got to get the word from the Lord. What is the Lord speaking to you? Check your heart. Are you feeling stretched? Great. That's good. Feel stretched. Now I don't have the scripture here. Hold on, I got a scripture. Ah! I had a scripture for that. You need to wholly submit to God. Even when you're feeling stretched. It says, no. Hold on, let me find this scripture. I had a scripture about this. Yeah, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. And when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. That's not the exact scripture I wanted, so give me 1 second here. Let me find it. I wanted to talk about the trying of your faith. And I just need to find that. I have it. Man, printed this thing 5 times. Well, come back to it. Amen. But if you're feeling stretched, just submit to God. Just submit to God. Do you have it? Thank you. Yep, it's okay. You can give it to me. I had it in here. James 1, what? Thank you. Thank you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So know that it's testing of your faith that will produce patience. What does patience take? Time. Patience usually takes time. Amen? I always love when it says count it all joy, and I say this all the time, but our pastor in Oklahoma would say, when you fall into trials, when you're not sure what's happening, go bake a cake. Because it says count it all joy. So when my kids were going through something, Michaela would go, let's go bake a cake. Because we're going to count it all joy. We're going to rejoice and keep moving forward. Because a lot of things have to do with your heart attitude too. Are you going to grumble and complain? Are you going to say, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. I don't see it. But I'm not going to grumble and complain. I'm going to count it all joy. So instead of looking at what's not happening, you keep moving forward and expect to see what God has spoken to you. But if you start looking at what's not happening, you're going to miss the fresh wind of heaven that's going to carry you through to the next thing. Because you're going to sit down and give up and sit in your house. And when you're in your house, the Lord has given me a tongue and interpretation on the way over here. When you're in your house, you're not moving with the wind. Do you understand? You have to get up and keep moving. You have to get up and keep going. Because there's a fresh wind and it's here. You can miss it, but that's on you. Nobody else. Not on your pastor, not on your spouse, not on your kids, not on your job. I don't care. It's you have to get up and keep going. You have to get up and go out. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you, you have to get up and you have to go do it. It may not look exactly like you think it's going to look. That's the other problem. We're waiting for the perfect package to come together to make it look exactly like what we think we're supposed to do. I'm waiting for this to drop in my lap, and then I'm going to do exactly what the Lord's telling me to do. But it doesn't come like that. It comes with keep moving. Keep moving. Whatever it is, when my bank account hits $1 million, I'll be able to do this. When I have a little extra money, I'll be able to do this. When I can just go full-time ministry, I'll be able to do this. When I can just do this, do this, do this, do this. But what are you doing right now in the midst of it? It's what are we doing right now? Listen, I'm preaching this message to myself. The Lord told me 6 months ago, it's time to run. And I don't understand what that means. I'm like, aren't I running? I feel like I've been running. I don't understand. He told me a year ago, I want you to start seeing things from the heavenlies. Today, I got the revelation of what that meant. See, when you let the fresh fire, the fresh wind carry you, it will carry you above every storm and you'll be in the heavenlies and you'll see from a heavenlies place. Because the wind of heaven can carry you above everything. When you're with the wind of heaven, because it's a wind like we don't even understand. And I know I'm talking in natural and spiritual terms, but I'm telling you that when all of a sudden I was coming over here and I've been asking the Lord for like a year, I don't know what you mean about seeing it from the heavenlies. I mean, that gets like a little weird to me and I don't want to be flaky. I don't understand. And then the fresh wind of heaven and I was like, oh, I need to just go with the wind of heaven. He will take me above. But if you get caught looking at things right here, you're in tunnel vision. You're not seeing anything from the heavenlies. So what the Lord spoke to you is from the heavenlies. You need to take yourself out of this right now and say, okay, I can see it. What can you see? Can you see what the Lord has spoken to you? I can see what the Lord has spoken. The Lord told me that New Freedom Church was a generational church. So when I start to get down, I say, no. Because the Lord said generational church. That means it doesn't just last for right now. It's going to last and have a lasting impact. That means all ages are coming to New Freedom Church. Amen? Because it's a generational church. It's going to impact generations. It's going to have an impact in this area. So I don't really, yeah, sometimes I start to get moved about what I'm seeing. But then I say, Lord, this is what you spoke. So I'm going to keep running. But you need to get on with the wind and get into the heavenlies and see it from his perspective, not this narrow vision that we have down here. That's not where you need to be looking at it. Your bank account looks not great, but the Lord's told you to sow. Lord, I thank you. You know what I started thanking the Lord for the other day? And I know we're online and I don't really care. Multiple bank accounts for the church. You know why? Because the FDIC only assures you for $250,000. So I decided I'm not just going to start thanking God for enough. I'm going to start thanking him for multiple because that's overflow. You're like, oh boy, That's where we need to get to because that's from a heavenly place. So when someone calls and they need something, sure, we're going to take care of that for you. We're going to take care of that for you because we have enough. When evangelists come in, we have more than enough. Any need somebody has, we have more than enough. We need multiple bank accounts for that. Maybe you need multiple bank accounts for your own home. Then start thanking God for it. Even if you got two pennies in there. If you're a giver, you're a sower, then it's your right. So start thanking God for those things. I'm talking about finances, but there's other things. Whatever it looks like, you start thanking God for it because that's what faith does. See, the fresh wind of heaven, maybe you've been tired. Maybe you've been wore out. But the fresh wind of heaven is going to rejuvenate you. If you allow it to. If you say, Lord, I want everything you have. I am with you. I am going to go with you. I am flowing with the fresh wind. And I see it coming and I hear it coming. Because I'm telling you, when you start in your spirit, you can hear it. Can you hear it? That's what the Lord keeps saying. Can you hear it? Can you see it? You might not hear the wind that I heard. You might not physically hear it, but I'm telling you what, it's going to carry me to my grave hearing it. because that is like the most amazing sound ever. But you can sense it in your spirit if you're sensitive to the spirit, because just like you know that we're in the last of the last days, you know there's a fresh wind pouring across this land. It's not just America. Get that out of your head. That's tunnel vision. Start thanking God for the nations, that a fresh wind is blowing across the nations. What does it look like? What does it look like to see this fresh wind? Let me just tell you about your heart, though, first. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I'm telling you to keep checking your heart. Keep checking your heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. I don't care who you're looking at. They look so great and they have everything, because God doesn't look at the outward man. It says, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's why that scripture about complaining hit me. Because it says secretly in your heart, you're complaining. So God sees it. And that hit me. So no matter if no one else sees it, God knows what's happening on my heart. Because he said he looks at the heart of man. And that's what got me. In Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without complaining. And that's where it means secret displeasure, not openly avowed, and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you should shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. Boy, I'm not going to run in vain. So I got to get my heart right. This wind of heaven, you're going to feel it in your spirit. What can you expect? What can we expect as this fresh wind of heaven comes blowing across this land? Revival. Come on. We're already seeing revival happening in places. And what is already happening where the revival is happening? The religious people. Oh, this can't be God. What do you mean you're baptizing all these kids on the campus? What do you mean you baptize these kids here? They're actually complaining about people being baptized and revival happening. Do you see what I'm saying? The fresh wind, it'll offend people because they didn't have a part in it. Be careful you don't get caught up in whether you have a part in it or not. Who cares if it's you or not? Just be excited that revival is happening. You don't have to give the credit. It's not about you anyway. It's about the kingdom, right? Amen. It's going to give you the boldness to preach. That's what the fresh wind of heaven, that fresh fire, it's going to give you the boldness to go out and share the word of God. Something else that's happening right now is it'll break your heart. Every person that drives by, you're like, I wonder if they know Jesus. Because you sense that urgency. You know something is happening. Things are ramping up. I believe we're going to see miracles that we've never seen before with the fresh wind of heaven. Because people are hungering. They're thirsting. They want to see God. They need a Savior. They're at their wit's end. There are so many people right now that are depressed, wore out, and broke, and you start just telling them God loves them, and you watch their countenance change. You see addictions broken, bam, just like that. They don't have to go through any 12-step program. It's happening just like that. We're going to see healings happening just like that, because a lot of sickness comes from mental torment, and when you get rid of that, sickness is gone too. So you're going to start seeing a lot of miracles. That's what I'm believing for, and you're going to see a quick work, which we're already seeing happening. We're seeing a quick work, people receiving the Lord and running. How many of you have already seen people, they're getting saved and they're surpassing somebody who's been sitting in church for 30 years? Amen. That's the fresh wind of heaven. They've grabbed a hold of it. But you know what? That's not just for them. Because I was thinking about this. I want a deeper revelation too. And that's what that fresh wind of heaven does. Don't think you've got it all together. I want to partake of all of those things too. It's not just for a new believer. It's for me too. Think about how, on the day of Pentecost, how many were saved. We're going to see that. Mass salvations, mass baptisms in the Holy Ghost. I can see it. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you believe that it can happen? Or do you think that'll never happen in America? Just asking. You're going to start seeing the effects of the fresh wind of heaven, and you're already seeing it. It's already happening. This is what I see. I see addictions breaking instantly. I see strongholds in people's minds being torn down instantly. I see healings instantly. I see mass salvations, not just in foreign countries. We always believe for foreign countries, but what about America? It says he's no respecter of persons. So what about America? Why don't we believe mass salvations can happen here? Well, I don't really know if their heart is really in it. That's not your place to judge. Come on. I see generations taking their rightful place. I see spontaneous worship breaking out all across this land. I see us at places, and I just watched this video the other day, a guy just breaking out into worship in the middle of a restaurant. And nobody was offended. You know why? Because the Spirit of God shows up and things change. Why not America? Why not right here? Why not Sellersville?
Amen.
Right here. When I say a fresh wind is blowing across this land, let's just go right here, right now. It's for here, too. But you've got to believe and you got to know that God cares about right here. We tend to always want to be like, oh, well, that's happening over there, but it can't happen here. Yes, yes, it can. Let's go even more intimate. What about in your own household? What about your own family members that aren't saved? Mm-hmm. Stop saying they'll never receive. Stop saying, I don't know what's going to happen, and start saying, Lord, I thank you that fresh wind is for them, too. That fresh wind is going to blow through my house, and every member of my household is going to be saved. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that fresh wind is going to, you're going to rearrange things in my life, and I'm ready. Are you ready? Because I got thinking about it. A fresh wind is a fresh fire, and a wind will blow up anything that's not firmly planted. So anything that's not firmly planted in your life, it's not planted in the Word of God, you're going to let the fresh wind blow it out. I got thinking about that, and I saw the, of course, I think farming terms, so I saw the chaff from the wheat and the straw, and I'm like, if it's not of the Lord, blow it out of my life, Lord. Take it. I release of it. I'm not holding on to it. You ain't going to be holding on to it when the wind of heaven comes through anyway. So when you feel yourself being stretched right now, and you're like feeling kind of, it's probably the wind of heaven blowing through your life right now, and you need to humble yourself to say, you know what? I got this repeated pattern of whatever. I got a bad attitude in this area. And now you still got a bad attitude because the Lord's trying to clean you up on it. Now you got to decide you want to surrender it and say, Lord, y'all look at me like, I can't believe she just said that. I have my own bad attitudes I got to work on. Come on. I'm not standing up here telling you the Lord's not working on. I've been a little irritated in the past couple weeks. And all of a sudden when the Lord gave me this message, I was like, okay, I understand. Because the Lord is preparing us. The Lord is blowing through our lives. Those that are open, that want to receive, you will receive it. You will receive it. But it's not about you going to counseling and fixing it. Let the wind of heaven just blow through and take out what needs to be taken out. So what is the Lord speaking to you? He who loves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life will have eternal life. Amen? There's like a million messages in my head right now. I was counseling someone the other day, and I said, if the Lord said to you, never do this again, could you do it? And he looked at me, and I said, I'm not telling you that's what the Lord's saying. I'm saying that's how you test if something's an idol in your life. If the Lord told you to give it up tomorrow, could you do it? Do you want to know the truth? Every now and then I ask myself, if the Lord told me to give my house away, could I do it? And I say, yes. I've given cars away, but a house is a big deal. And the Lord is not telling me to give my house away. But I ask myself that because I want to make sure even my house isn't an idol. If the Lord asked me for my son to go to Bible school, can I do it? Yes, I'm going to do it. Do you understand? Your children can be an idol. Your marriage can be an idol. I'm not telling you the Lord is going to ask you to get rid of your wife or husband. That's not what I just meant by that. Sorry. I just wanted to, I should clarify that. But what if the Lord said, I need you to go for 2 weeks to Tanzania? Could you do it? Could you leave your spouse? If the Lord's telling you to? Because I read in scripture all the time, Peter was always on the road and he was married, okay? You need to ask yourself, whatever it might be, my bank account. If the Lord told me to empty my bank account out, can I do it? But if you feel this like, ooh, then maybe it's an idol. So we need to ask ourselves that. That's why that scripture was coming to me. If you love your life. In America, we We love our life. We're very comfortable with a lot of things. And so every now and then I check my heart about almost everything. If the Lord asked me to do this, would I do it? Because I know that it doesn't have a hold on me. We talk about money all the time, but what about other things in our lives? So you need to ask yourself, because when this wind of heaven comes and the Lord is telling you to mobilize and to go, you have to make sure there's nothing that's going to hold you back that's more important to you than what God is speaking. Because we don't get to have that excuse. Who said it this morning that delayed response is still disobedience? So what is the Lord speaking to you to do? Because I know a lot of you have something that the Lord is speaking to you right now. He's telling you. It's been on you. He will take care of you. And all you need to do is run with the wind, not against the wind. See, when you tarry, you're running against the wind, and that's why you're fighting. Let the wind carry you above the storms. Let the wind carry you above all the doubts, because you don't need him. Because he can carry you above it, and they're all smoke screens anyway. God does not give you doubts. God does not give you fear. That's not of God. See, we have to stop and say, wait, what is the Lord speaking? And I know what the Lord speaks to me, and he doesn't give me fear. He doesn't give me worry. So if we can take control of that, then we're gonna run with the wind even faster, because we don't have anything holding us back. We're not stopping and going, wait a minute, I got to get my thoughts. No, just say, when fear and worry try to come on, I do not link up with that. Lord, I thank you for whatever it is that's coming against you, right? How many of you hear us say, when we start to worry about our finances, we just give? Why do we do that? Because we trust the Lord. So we refuse to fall into fear. So whatever it is, well, I can't do that. I can't speak in front of people. Well, then get up and speak in front of people. That's what you should do, because God doesn't give you fear. You got to do the opposite. I don't know why I got on that, but anyway. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You are blessed by being obedient. As you're obedient, as you run with the wind, as you follow after his word, you will be blessed. Matthew 24:10-14. This was supposed to be in the middle, sorry. But I'm going to read it anyway, because scripture's good. And you need to understand it. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Do not let your love grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and to the end, and then the end will come. The Lord is so good. He tells us what's going to happen. So when you start seeing it happen, instead of saying, oh my gosh, this world is so bad. I saw something on Instagram the other day that said it's very biblically looking outside. And I love that. You know, like, I don't know another term that you would say, but it's looking very biblical outside. Truth. So what are we supposed to do? Well, he said, these are the signs. This is what's going to happen. Beware of this. Beware of that. Make sure you have fervent love for one another. Don't grumble and complain. Don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. Great. You know, it's real easy for us to do that one. Don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. Oh, yes, we're going to all come together. Oh, don't grumble and complain. Ugh. That one's a little harder. Fervent love for one another, but you really get on my nerves. Nope, I have fervent love. Not you. I wasn't looking at anybody individual. Sorry. Have fervent love for one another. And that is talking to believers. You don't have to have fervent love for unbelievers. You need to love them to want to go out and witness to them. But you need to have fervent. We always want to talk about going out to the lost. But God has a plan for the body, too, in the end times. And it's important. I always go back to, we're all part of the body, and we each have our part. So if we don't each do our part, and we all want to be out on our own doing our own part, then it's not going to work. You might as well just go be a lone ship. But that's not what God called us to do. He called us to work together. Sorry, it's called a team effort. The kingdom of God is family. It's not even team. It's family. There's so much more to that. I'm not going to go on that. You're like, what does that have to do with the fresh wind of heaven? Because I'm going to tell you. You're going to miss it if your heart's not right. If your heart's not right, you're not in tune with God, you will miss it. I've missed it. In the past couple weeks, I've felt a little, and all of a sudden, I was like, you know what? And if you want to know the real truth, the Lord told me a year ago I needed to have the anointing of I don't care. I know that sounds ridiculous, but for someone that cares about what people think all the time, I need the anointing of I don't care. I only care what the Lord thinks. I'm not saying I don't care about things happening to people. I'm saying I got to stop caring about what people think. I got to start just worrying about what the Lord thinks. Amen? Amen. But I started to feel a little, things weren't really going. They're not looking that way. And then I was like, when I heard that fresh wind of heaven and the Lord said, it's time to run, which he keeps saying that to me, it's time to run. I think I know what it means. I think I just got to keep moving forward. There's a grace to run with the wind of heaven too, by the way. There is a grace. His mercies are new every day. You get in that flow. But I also always go back to that scripture, narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. Broad is the path to destruction, but narrow is the way. Which we always want to go, well, God understands and he knows I have this. I think you better just do what the Lord is saying, because narrow is the way, which means not everybody's going to understand. Not everybody's going to get what you're doing. Narrow is the way. So, I mean, I have songs. I don't really feel like, if you want prayer, I'll totally pray for you. No problem. But what I really want you to take away from tonight is there's a fresh wind of heaven here. It's here right now. It's not just coming. It's here blowing across this land. Are you going to take part in it? Are you going to run with the Lord and let the wind carry you? Or are you going to be stuck on the old things? And that's why the Lord was really, I was like, I always want to say, Lord, I just want to give an encouraging message. But every time Jesus spoke, he gave a warning to his disciples. He told them what to be aware of. So you can't preach without giving the warnings, because everything Jesus did, he always gave us a warning because he loved us. So if we're aware of these things that could easily snare us and trap us, then we're not gonna take the bait. We don't take the bait of Satan when we know what's coming, when we know what it looks like. So when we start to feel divisive, no, I'm not taking that bait. When we start to feel grumbling and complaining, no, I'm not taking that bait. Because the enemy would love nothing more than to cause discord in the body of Christ. Because then you can't run and do what the Lord's telling you to do, because you're worried about taking care of the discord. But that's not who he is. And he doesn't want your heart to be like that either. He doesn't want you to be troubled and in chaos, because he's not a God of chaos. He's a God of peace. And that wind is a fresh wind, and it's a great wind. And you can run with the wind and let him carry you above the storms of life. But that requires trusting and submitting and yielding to him. Y'all are very smart people, and that's great. But you need to give it to God. You may think you know how to do everything, but you need it. When you start feeling that roughness, you need to say, Lord, something is not right here. I need you to show me what to do. And he might tell you, just sit down and shut up for 2 seconds. Sit down and listen to what I'm saying to do. Stop doing everything you think. I'm going to tell you, with a fresh wind of heaven, things start looking a little different. Things you thought you were supposed to be doing might look different. But keep your heart attitude right. That's the most important thing. You keep your heart right, God is going to show you exactly what to do. He's going to give you a love for people and to run with the people that he's called you to run with. He don't want you, your spouse is not your enemy. Your pastor is not your enemy. Your brother or sister in the Lord, not your children, not your enemy. Because God has placed them in your life for you to run with them. Amen. You can goodbye to Facebook. Thanks for coming. I'm really bad at the ending of that. Blessings. So I have some songs you can play. You can stay in worship.